Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. We focus our attention and meditate on the Word of God as it's recorded for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of the men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are still left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, everyone loves someone who encourages them. We watch parents as they encourage their children in athletics, encouraging them on, run a little faster, go a little harder. Or maybe they have them practice a little harder. They want their child to win. They want them to be successful. And of course, it doesn't always happen because there's a loser in every game. And so sometimes they have to only encourage them by saying, well, there's always next game. Or sometimes, sadly, next season. Yes, they want to encourage them. They want them to feel good about themselves. We like to encourage people when they're down in the dumps, we sometimes say, right? Because when we encourage them, we want them to feel better about themselves, better about the situation, even though many times we can't change it for them. When they're ill in the hospital, we want to encourage them to keep fighting, keep going. Listen, do what the doctors tell you to do. We want to encourage them and make them feel better. One of the places that it's really difficult sometimes to encourage is maybe at a visitation at a funeral home. What do you say? You don't want to make them any sadder. You don't want to make them feel bad, but you want to encourage them. But what are the words you would say? Well, words of encouragement are exactly what the Apostle Paul had in mind for us in our life. With words to encourage one another, with words that are factual, with words that are filled with hope, with words that are filled with an anticipation of the coming of our Savior Jesus. And so today, we focus on that theme. Encourage each other with these words. With a word first, a fact. He said, brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of the men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Some would say ignorance is bliss. No, it isn't. A lot of times, ignorance causes people to worry, causes concern, causes depression. Because when you're ignorant about the facts, when you're ignorant about what's going to happen, when you're not sure, oh, that's when all the anxiety starts coming to the top. But he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, those who have died from this world and gone on. He doesn't want, I want you to be ignorant of them because here's what we know as a fact. Jesus died and rose again. And because he rose again, notice he says, we believe he died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, those who believe in Jesus, are brought with him in glory. That's a gift, isn't it? How encouraging is that to tell someone, maybe you're in that line at the funeral home, to encourage them to know that their loved one is with Jesus. Their faith in Jesus is that which sustains not just them for this life and not just them for this life and the life to come, but also for those who remain. To have that wonderful confidence. This is what Jesus did. And folks, that's a fact. It's not made up. It's not words that are spoken just to make somebody feel better. Oh, we try that sometimes too, right? But they always fall short of accomplishing their task. Jesus died and rose again. Know that. It's a fact. Believe that, for he did that for you and for me. This life is not all there is. The successes we have here, they're so small compared to the glory that is Jesus Christ, compared to what it is to know the Creator, to take our prayers to him, our concerns, our worries. Oh, what a gift he has given us and what a fact he has built this on. These things happened. These are historic. I didn't make them up. They're not fables somebody else wrote up. It's the truth. Jesus came to this world to be our Savior, to be our King who rules over our lives. And when the King says, this is the way it is, you can be certain that's the way it is. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we know that our sins have been paid for in full. We are forgiven. We have that wonderful confidence that this life isn't what it's all about. But there is hope for us. Paul says, I want you not to be ignorant, but I want you to have this hope. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. He tells us about Judgment Day. He tells us when that day happens, we don't have to worry, we don't have to run, we don't have to hide, because Christ, our King, our Savior, is coming. And that those who have gone on before, those loved ones which we don't get to see anymore and we're sad because of that loss, are coming in His presence with the Savior Himself. Think of that joy. Oh, what a comfort that is. To encourage one another that no, when we say goodbye to a loved one, when we say goodbye to that loved one in the faith of Christ, that we don't say goodbye forever. More, we say, see you later. We'll see you later in the presence of Jesus Christ. The King has made it so. The King has declared that you are a child of God. The King has declared that as a child of God, everlasting life is yours. Encourage one another with these words. Lift one another up. We think about how many people today suffer in despair, suffer with anxiety, suffer from despondency because they expected more from life, or they were hoping for better turnout something. They were hoping to always be in the winner's circle. We know that doesn't happen. And when it doesn't happen, Satan's right there to get on our case and say, oh, see what God didn't do? Here are the facts. Jesus died and rose again. Here's the hope that all those who die in Jesus will come with him to spend eternity with him and come again in glory when he comes to receive everyone to himself. The pagans didn't have that hope at the time Paul was writing to Thessalonians. No, when their loved ones died, that was it. All they could do was mourn and wail. But Paul writes, oh no, accordingly, you who are still alive will be left till the coming, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. Somebody asked me, what do you think? Just recently they asked, what do you think? World going to end soon? My only reply is I look at all the signs that Jesus gave about the end times, about the wars and rumors of wars, about the pestilence, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, and all the things that are happening around us. And we have to say, well, the signs are fulfilled, and we're a whole lot closer now than we ever were before. That's what God has told us. We could worry. We could find and try to make solutions to make the world last forever. Who wants this world to last forever? Heaven is our home. This is just a parking space for us right now, folks. And God has assured us of that because Christ lived and died and rose again. He gave us these wonderful, powerful words of hope that he will come to be with us and the call of God and the dead in Christ will rise first. What a glorious event that will be. I can't even tell you about it because it's all going to happen right away at a certain time, whenever God has chosen that time to be. And we'll all be in his presence. Imagine that. Even though we've had our failures, even though we've not always lived up to God's perfection and the code that he has placed before us in his commandments, even though we look in the mirror of the law and see our sin, we also see the love of Jesus Christ. And we need to encourage one another with these words. To encourage and lift one another up. To know what Christ has done for them and for the world. And that's not difficult, my friends. Yes, I know when people are down, we want to have just the right word to say to them. We want to have just the right words of encouragement to give to them. We love being with people who can do that. You know those folks. Those ones that have just the right word to say all the time, just the right way to pick up your spirits. They lift the spirits of the entire room when they get there. And not because they're the cut-up or the clown, but because they show a caring for people and want to encourage them. And so we are encouraged with words that are factual of what Christ has done for us. That's a fact that will not change. That's not up for debate. That's not up for a vote. That's the fact of Christ's love for us. And in that fact, we have the wonderful hope of eternity with him and can look forward with anticipation for all that he has done and what he will do. After that, he says, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Can't wait. Can't wait till that time. There's a lot of stuff that we are anxious about. We look forward to holidays like we just celebrated at Thanksgiving. We look forward because we know that Christmas is on the way and we got all kinds of plans and there's going to be all sorts of travel across our country and around the world. People are going to visit friends and family. We have all this anticipation and we say, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Can't wait for Jesus to come either. Because he has given us this wonderful word of anticipation. Because when he comes, we will join those who have gone to glory before us. It isn't going to be like one ordered thing that these people arise and then these, it's all going to happen at once. We'll be in awe. It'll be a wonder. It'll be like not just watching fireworks, but actually being in the middle of the fireworks when they explode. So wonderful it will be to be in the presence of God. And that is what is promised to us. That is what we can anticipate, to be up in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Not just for a visit. Not just for a time. Not just for a span that we can say, well, we're going to have to eventually go back. It's a problem with vacations too, isn't it? Eventually the vacations come to an end, and we got to go back to work. Got to go back to school. Got to go back to what we were doing. But with God, it will be forever. In a time and in a place where there is no more sin or sorrow, where the Lord himself rules over all. He is the light to which we follow. He is our King, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We think about that. And that's more than just something we hope for in the future. That's what we enjoy right now. Paul told them, now you encourage one another with these words right now. To know that when heartache comes our way, we have a way to deal with it. When suffering and sorrow comes our way, we have a Lord who will alleviate the pain and lift us up again, promising to be he will be with us always to the very end of the age. And at that time then, we will be with him. Encouraging words. I know. We don't always use them as often as we should. We don't lift everybody up as we ought. We don't affirm them in their faith and in their love for one another and in what their accomplishments and their gifts and talents. Paul would tell us differently. He says, listen, when you think about the end times, when you think about going to glory, encourage one another with these words. Jesus died. Jesus rose. Jesus lives, and we will live with him. Give the people the hope that is theirs, not because of anything they have done, but because of everything Christ has done. Give them the wonderful hope that there is a place that God has prepared. Our name's on the door. Our name's on the entrance there, waiting for us, waiting to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We have that hope, and we anticipate glory. I could go on. I could say all sorts of things about how we're going to handle things in this life, how we handle the losses, the downs, the farewells, the goodbyes. And yet, Paul said, yeah, use the words that we've just shared to encourage one another. Because what wonderful encouragement there is when we know that the Lord is our King, our Savior. We are His, now and always. May the word of Christ encourage you and make you an encourager of others. Because it's not someone's opinion. That's the way it is. It's the fact. So now go and encourage someone today. Amen. And the peace of God that comes to us through the wonderful word of God, ever keep your hearts and minds in true faith till we stand with glory, in glory with Jesus forever. Amen.